Welcome to Teacher's Lift. This is Aditi Jhaveri from the Center for Applied English Studies at Hong Kong University with a new guest. Talking to us today is Tonia Fung, a friend and a fellow teacher.
Hi, Aditi.
Hi,
so
Tonia.
So happy to be here.
Welcome. Ms. Tonia Fung is a lecturer at the School of Modern Languages and Cultures in the Faculty of Arts at Hong Kong University. She teaches courses on German language, on representation of German society, on German film and cinema, among several other courses. She's also received the Faculty Teaching Excellence Award. She received this in the year 2009-2010. This is one of her numerous achievements. Her research and teaching interests predominantly lie in studying the influence of English and Cantonese on Hong Kong learners of German, as well as in studying the role of women in German commercials and advertising.
Yeah, you summed it up very nicely. Yes.
Well, this was mainly in your bio, but I have known you personally, so I know these things about you as well. I think we'll start with something quite simple that maybe our audience may want to know, which is how many students enroll in these German courses? And how popular is the course?
I think every year we have about 4 to 5 beginners classes in German. So that will make it 25 students each. So more than 100, 120 students each per year. That's in year one, semester one. But naturally there's a dropout rate, as with all other languages. Once they realize that you have to put in some effort, it's not that easy.
Yeah.
And German doesn't rank very high on the easy languages charts, you know.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's supposed to be a difficult language?
You want my honest answer or my answer as a German program representative?
Both.
Both. So it's a not that easy language. It's easier than Russian, I'd say. It's more difficult than English. So somewhere in between there.
I see. But would you say that for certain cultural groups or linguistic groups, it's easier than for others? So I remember when I was a kid in India, a lot of Indians used to learn German. And they said because German is part of the Indo-Germanic languages, it comes more easily to Indians than, let's say, to someone who is from another language group. Would that be right? Or
what I've noticed is that Indian students, for example, can master the pronunciation very well.
Okay.
Whereas other groups might have more problems. So for Hong Kong students, native Cantonese speakers, or mainland students, native Mandarin speakers, they have more problems than, let's say, native Indian speakers. Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
When it comes to learning the grammar, though, I hope that it's equally easy for all of them.
Or equally hard.
I did not say that.
No, you didn't. But the course is popular. I mean, 120 students per year in year
intake,
one.
Yes. Of course, naturally, as I said, the number will go down as the years progress.
Yes.
So it will flatten out at about 20 students per class. And we'll have 2 classes in year 3.
And then year 2?
Year 2 will have 3 classes with about 20 each. But some students will go on exchange as well in their final semester. So we do have a kind of big group that will go on exchange in Germany.
Wow. So that is probably something that students look forward to.
Yes. And now they can look forward to that again because finally the exchanges are going on again.
Well, let's just keep our fingers crossed.
Oh, yes, definitely.
A lot can happen. But we are hoping for the best. And how many teachers are involved in these, in teaching these courses?
At this moment, we have 5 full-time teachers. And usually we do have part-timers as well who teach normally tutorials. But at this moment, because of financial constraints, we were told that we can't have any part-timers at all for the whole academic year. So we are teaching the tutorials as well at this moment.
So 5 teachers teaching the lectures as well as the tutorials?
At this moment, yes.
I see. That's quite a lot of work to do.
It is, yes, it is. It's about 16 hours for each of us each week.
16 hours. So I know that's you and who else is there? I think I know Lee Chong.
Yes, of course.
Who teaches German as well.
Yes.
And Kavel mentioned Stefan.
Stefan, yes.
Who are the other two?
There's Shirley, another colleague. And there's my new program director, Geraldine.
Wonderful. Okay, so I think my next question is related to the challenges you're facing. Mm-hmm. Of course, a lot of work may be one of them. What other challenges do you face as a German language teacher teaching in Hong Kong to mm-hmm. students here?
I think a lot of this has to do with the expectations the students have when they start a new language. Mm. Some of them, like I mentioned before, I think don't realize how much work it is to learn a new language.
Yeah.
Because all of the Hong Kong students, they've learned English since kindergarten. Mm. Well, when I say learned, it means they were taught some sort of English in kindergarten.
Yes.
And you can't, of course, say, oh, this is the same way with German. It's yeah. a completely different language, completely different way of learning. Mm. So they realize this, and then at one point they think, okay, well, maybe not for me, which is perfectly fine with me, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe you realize also that it's not your type of language. Because mm. I've learned other languages before, and sometimes you don't have the emotional connection.
Yes.
And I think for languages, it's important if you choose a language to have an emotional connection. Mm. So, for example, I learned Spanish. Mm. Don't tell this to my Spanish colleagues. No. But I had no emotional connection to that at all.
Yes.
Whereas when I'm in Italy and I haven't learned Italian mm. properly, mm. I just love it because it's so full of vibrancy and uh-huh. energy.
Yes.
So if my students tell me that, yeah, German is not bad, but, you know, it's not, they don't have this connection, mm-hmm. then I think it's okay for them to not continue to learn it.
Okay.
The other thing is that most of the Hong Kong students, they come from a school background where memorizing is at the center of everything. Mm-hmm. And it's not so important to be active in class. Mm. But when you study German with us, mm. we force you to be active
okay.
from day one, basically.
Right.
Because you have to speak in German, whichever little you can say from day one. Mm. So that is something that's sometimes hard because the students tend to sit in class and just, you know, you can tell from their eyes, they're thinking, don't pick me, don't pick me.
Yes.
But I mean, oh, you will always be picked. Mm.
I know that feeling. Mm. I used to study in Alliance Française mm. and I learned French for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And we only had to speak French.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you wanted to say, I don't know, you had to say that
yes,
in French.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And everyone, because the classes were so small, we were five in a class. There was no way you could escape saying mm-hmm. something.
Exactly.
And sometimes it was just, we.
Yeah, but eventually, so eventually it will be more than we. It will be a whole sentence or maybe a whole, you know, maybe two sentences.
True.
So eventually there's hope.
Yes.
Yeah, but if you never start, then
how will you get to the
exactly,
sentence?
Yes.
But then from what I know about Hong Kong students, at least what I perceive of mm. them, I can see that they don't necessarily enjoy expressing themselves all the time, and mm-hmm. they can take a bit of time to warm up.
Mm.
So how do you get them going? How do you say, well, you have to talk here? And
honestly, after a couple of weeks, let's say 2 weeks, that's no longer a problem because you get to know them and you teach them some funny, silly expressions in German, you know, something like, oh, that's stupid.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot this. That's a favorite thing. You know, as soon as they can say, I forgot my homework, it's like, oh, yeah, I can do that. Yeah. You know, something like this. I always think that a class where nobody is laughing is kind of a waste
for
everybody.
Yes.
So normally once they started to laugh and enjoy themselves, they're okay. And then they're there to say something.
They let their guard down.
A little bit at least, yes. Of course, every student is different, but most of them will be like that.
Mm. Mm-hmm. You made Mila.
That's good. Successful day already.
So you are able to get them out of their shell a little bit. Mm-hmm. They start talking in class. But as you said, they may find the German is not for them.
Mm.
But if it's too late, if they're already maybe in the third year by that time, then what does one do?
Nothing. Nobody realizes that in their third year.
Nobody. So generally people realize early on that it's not for them.
First sem, first year, normally. Oh. Yes.
So you've never had anybody who did all 4 years and then said, I wish I had taken another language.
No, very, very rarely. But I think I had one or two students who actually said that.
Okay.
And I didn't like hearing that.
Of course.
But again, you know, if it's a personal thing, if you have this feeling, there's nothing I can do.
Yes.
There's no arguing with that.
Hmm.
for whatever reason. I mean, there must have been a reason why they picked German in the first place.
That's true.
But maybe that reason is no longer there. So, yeah, people change. Yeah.
No, we experience that all the time as English teachers. Because they say, we don't like learning English. We are forced to learn this language in university. And especially students who are here to study medicine or engineering. I mean, English is not their main goal. Mm-hmm. So they just say, we don't want to be in this class. Mm-hmm. And so it's your job to make it exciting.
Exactly, yeah. To make them happy, even though they don't want to be there.
Yes. Mm. But I think we are able to
do it. We can do that. Yes, definitely. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. That's a skill that language teachers have. Mm. Yeah. Challenges, yes. But moving on to, you know, the more technical side of teaching, I suppose, which is the pedagogical strategy. Mm-hmm. And do you notice that certain strategies seem to be more effective than others? Let's say, you know, since you're teaching both lectures and tutorials, you know, problem-based learning, task-based learning, I don't know, group discussions. Is there a particular strategy, principle, you know, that you adhere to? Mm-hmm. As a teacher, or is it more like, oh, I'll see what works in what situation?
I think it's a mix of both. Mm-hmm. I mean, you set out every beginning of the semester for every class, you have a certain plan, right? Mm-hmm. But then you see what the group is like this year, because you can have a year with very quiet students. Mm-hmm. You can have a class with mostly active students. So you have to choose activities that cater to this particular composition of this particular class at that moment. Hmm. So normally what we strive for, I think I speak for all of my colleagues here, is an interactive class,
yes,
in whichever way that works for this particular class. Hmm. It can be group discussions, it can be a group task, it can be anything that gets them to use the language and, you know, be able to express themselves in the language. Of course, that gets easier as we get along. So year one, first semester, is difficult, but you do find some stuff to do. So I had a role play last month where they had to pretend to be in a restaurant. And of course, they were very silly about it. So you had students who were pretending they were on a date, which didn't go well. Let me just say this.
Okay.
And others were in a restaurant where the waitress was horrible.
Mm.
That kind of thing. But I was very pleased with this particular class this year, because I do this every year.
Okay.
But this year, especially, there were, not that they were better than others in the grammatical sense, but they were more creative and more fun to watch.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. So
they created scenarios.
It was really nice.
Were more engaging.
Oh yes, very much so. So I appreciated more than the correct use of the accusative case.
That's true.
Or the right preposition.
Mm. That's true. For instance, in English, we have these strategies, or these approaches, we call them, that we tend to rely on more than other approaches. Mm. So for example, my approach is what I call the genre-based approach. That means teaching reading, writing, or any kind of text as a genre. Mm. You know, so it's the academic writing genre. Within that, there is the research of genre, the essay or the... Do you have something similar or in German, or is it more generic?
It must be more general writing, if we stay with that example, because our students start from zero, most of them. So even if we push them a lot, which we do, and even if they're very hardworking, which most of them are, there's a limit as to what they can achieve within the 4 years with us. So the writing especially tends to be mostly general topics, for example. So general, you know, about yourself, about your immediate interests, hobbies, and whatever. And then in the later years, that is from year two, second sem onwards, we have maybe more texts about interpreting statistics or figures, or give your opinion about a topic, not necessarily concerning you, but something, I'm not saying politics, but anything in the society which you would like to comment on.
Oh.
So that is what we will also do then.
Right. So that's why then you have other courses on German as well, like German society, German cinema. So they understand the language in a more holistic way.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Because in the language courses, it's all, of course, language-based. Our electives are also language-based in the sense that they're all German, and you have to be able to understand the original language. But at the same time, for example, in the media course that you mentioned, Representations of German Society.
Yeah.
You also get an insight into German society and how things changed or have not changed so much with regard to the treatment of women in commercials. Mm. And the students see how language is used in there to describe a woman's role in society.
Mm.
And then I'm asking them if that is different from their own societies, from their own background, or if it has changed.
So these students then, is it their first experience ever to understand German society? Mm-hmm. Or do you think that the students who enroll in German already have a prior knowledge and some sort of a background with German culture, German history, German literature? So the kind of students that it attracts, I suppose that's what I'm trying to ask, is do they already have a connection with German, maybe a family member or a friend or a career goal in a German company? What is your experience?
All of this.
Okay.
There are some who do German for purely personal reasons.
Hmm.
It could be as bizarre as, I like this German football player.
I see.
Or I've watched this German movie. So I want to learn German.
Hmm.
Then for others, they have a clear idea of, once I'm done with Hong Kong U, I'll do a master and I'll do that in Germany because for my specific field, that's the best.
Mm-hmm.
Or because it's for free or very cheap in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Others have an uncle and aunt living in Germany, a brother who's been studying there. So we see all sorts of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of them also because they know about German history.
Yes.
From secondary school.
Yeah.
But of course, their knowledge of German history is limited to Hitler.
Mm.
Maybe some Bismarck.
Okay.
But it ends with Hitler. So after Hitler, there's nothing.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, which is... it's
so
like...
It's Hitler and then Angela Merkel.
Yeah, basically that's it, yes.
Right.
Yeah. So it's always fun for me because I can tell them so many new things.
Oh,
you know, everything that happened in between is like news to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the same for German music,
because
you asked, do they know anything about German society?
Yes, yes.
Their knowledge of German music ends with Beethoven.
Oh, mine too.
See? You should come to my class. I always, in year one, first sem, I always play a song whenever there's time, once a week.
Oh, Wagner. I know Wagner.
Yeah. Like I always tell my students, he's a dead guy too.
Oh, yes.
So, sorry.
Yeah.
Not possible.
No, I don't know anyone who's alive in German music.
See?
Oh, dear.
Join my class.
I should. Mm. I should, definitely. So tell me some of the most bizarre reasons why students decided to take your course.
The one with, I like a German footballer, wasn't bizarre enough for you?
They can get pretty bizarre.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't have any more bizarre reason than that.
Okay.
And what I mean, of course, there's the odd student who takes German because of Hitler.
Hmm.
And yeah, to me as a German, any sentence that says I do this because of Hitler is a no-no.
Yes.
But he or she probably meant it as in, I found that period of German history interesting.
Yes, intriguing.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the reason that you have found to be like very, very important in when students have given you reasons for why they are studying German, is there a reason that you have found particularly laudable, commendable?
Any reason? I think it's not so much the reason. It's when you stick to your decision. That's laudable.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
yes.
You can choose German for any weird reason. I really don't mind.
Mm.
But you stick to your decision. Mm. And even though it's hard and yes, the test might not be that great.
Mm.
But you say, no, it's okay. I said, I'm interested in this, I'm doing this. Or I said, I'm doing a master later on, so I must do this. Mm. But of course, the students who plan to do a master are very, very focused because they know they will go to Germany, even though they're just in year two or year three in Hong Kong U, they know they will go to Germany later on.
Mm.
So they're very focused.
And how many would you say, the number of students who are that focused and that determined, how many are there?
Those who already know by year one that they will do their master,
yes.
Maybe one per class.
Uh-huh.
Because there's the other issue that those students might already be in year two or three.
Right.
When they think about this, year one students don't have this
planning
normally, I think.
Of course not.
Yeah, so normally it's a year two or even year three student who decides that. I have one in my year one class this year.
Who wants to do a master's?
Who wants to do a master, yes. But she's a year three student already in Hong Kong U.
Do you have any cases where you taught a student German, let's say, I don't know, many, many years ago? I know you've been teaching for several years at Hong Kong U, and you got in touch with them or they got in touch with you and they're still sticking with it. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they've gone and settled in Germany or married a German spouse. You know, they have a German spouse right now. Do you have
a lot?
Really?
There are a lot. Yes. First of all, I'm in touch with a lot of former students. Because I'm such an engaging and a wonderful teacher.
Oh, absolutely, I agree.
And students in here, which this is something I really love about Hong Kong, is that the students tend to develop such a close relationship with the teacher, if the teacher allows that or if the teacher fosters that. Mm-hmm. So I'm really close with the students. I had students over in my place last weekend, actually. They graduated 6 years ago, I think. And we all speak German. Whenever we come together, we have to speak German.
Okay.
So, a lot of them are still doing German at the Goethe Institute, for example. Mm-hmm. Then I have a number of students in Germany right now, either doing a master, working, or having a partner there. Lots of them.
That's really nice.
It's very nice, I have to say.
So you are still in touch with your students, and when they meet you, they are still able to speak in German.
They have to.
They have to.
They have to. Yeah. Of course, it does get difficult. Mm-hmm. But I think the more you encourage them to keep it up, even though they're no longer studying it. And when we have WhatsApp messages, they're all in German as well.
So that in itself is a big reward, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's very nice. Yeah. And even though, you know, the grammar, of course, sometimes is weird, but that's not the point. The point is they still have the important vocabulary, the structures to talk to me. Yes. Or maybe it's just a silly remark and I think, oh yeah, I know that because I taught you. I taught you that piece of vocabulary here.
And the inclination to meet you.
Mm-hmm. See?
Yeah. Any other factors that in the classroom or outside the classroom that you find particularly rewarding as a teacher of German?
I think what I find very rewarding is to see the progress of the students. Because as I said, we start from zero. For most of the students, zero beginners. And then you see them progressing. The first month is always incredibly slow.
Okay.
To the point where you think, oh, come on, every year the same.
Yes.
But then after the first month, suddenly they take off because you add new grammar, which makes the sentences more complex, more interesting. And then by the second sem, year one, it's a big difference. And then in year two, which is really where the fun starts, because they can really act out any emotions in German. They can be silly in German. They can insult each other in German. So that's really, really fun. So I love that. I love seeing
them move from zero to maybe four, five. Mm. If you're talking about a scale of zero to 10, then they are maybe at three, four. Where would you say they are?
After which year?
After first year.
After first year, they're probably at a 2.5 for those really interested ones, enthusiastic ones.
But 0 to 2 is also quite a jump.
That's quite a jump.
Yes.
Yes. Although in the first couple of weeks, students tend to be frustrated because, again, this is not English. And they expect that, you know, when you learn English, you can do a proper sentence pretty fast.
Yes.
Whereas in German, you can't do any sentence without grammar. There's always an ending. There's always something there that shows whether you understood what you're saying.
Yes.
So you can't pretend with German.
No, that is something that we face. I mean, students come to Hong Kong U with a lot of them having preconceived notions about the language. They have taken English since, they were in kindergarten. So either some of them think they're very good at it or some feel that it's not for them, which then affects the way they learn. Or even sometimes because of these prejudices, they stay exactly where they are, even after a lot of input. So I think for you, that may be a bit different because you see visible progress. Yeah.
And I think for us, it's also a bit liberating that they don't have any preconceived notions. I mean, they have preconceived notions. I shouldn't say that.
Yes.
Because 50% of my students come in and the first thing they say is, my friends told me that German is very difficult.
Okay.
And my friends told me that I can never pronounce letter R in German.
Uh-huh.
So that's stupid. of course. Oh, yeah. But you can do away with this within 1 hour. That's not a problem.
Okay.
But the students generally have no prior knowledge. So they all start from zero, means I can treat them all the same.
Hmm.
Once in a while, we do get students who've learned German before. Hmm. If they learned it in school, fine, no problem. But some of them learned it at home or online these days. And sometimes you wonder which website did they use.
Yes, oh yes.
Because they might have learned the grammar, but the vocabulary, you know, normally you know that for every situation, there are 5 different ways of expressing this.
Mm-hmm.
And online, they learn 4 different ways and they're all wrong. They should have learned the 5th one.
Yeah.
So that, for me, honestly, I would prefer students to be complete beginners.
Yes.
To make it easier.
Yeah, because what we experience in the first year for undergraduate students is that there's so much unlearning to do. All the things that they have learned in school, we have to tell them not to do it. And then they find our messages contradictory because that's not what my school teacher said.
You can't win that battle. Your school teacher was always right.
Yes. So we get a lot of those kind of questions that my school teacher said, you need to be creative in your language expression. And we say, well, be direct, be straightforward, start with the topic. And then the concept of genre, of course, comes in. You know, you're not writing a literary piece here. You're writing an essay or those distinctions. And usually, as you said, within the first year, they understand it quite well. The other thing that I wanted to come back to was regarding motivation. And as you said, motivations can be very inane and sometimes they can be very serious. To what extent do you think the financial motivation that German universities are very inexpensive, sometimes even free, plays a role in students deciding to learn German?
I think that point is becoming more important these days.
Why is that?
Because you have more people looking at furthering their studies abroad. So they do their research and they find out that, as you said, Germany is for free or very, very inexpensive. So that definitely is an incentive. So I have one boy in my first year class this year, two actually, who told me that they pick German because they know they will move on to Germany as soon as they're done with Hong Kong U.
I see.
So that from the very beginning, because previously I said it's only for year 2 or year 3 students who come to this conclusion. But this time I have it with year 1 students already. So they do their homework better than before. Because before they only heard in school about Bismarck and Hitler. Nobody ever told them about universities being for free.
Yes.
So motivations change. Yeah.
And these students who have moved to Germany, do you know whether, you know, they have assimilated in the population and whether they're happy there or did they move on to do other things and go to different countries after that?
Either way, I think. I have a girl who lived in Germany before for a master, then worked in Brussels for the EU and has now moved to London to work in the private sector somewhere. I have other students who work in I have one former student who works in a medium-sized enterprise in the middle of nowhere in Germany, I think, and who's very happy there. He's in the volleyball team. So he loves it.
Okay. Yeah, as you say, I mean, priorities can change or they can remain the same for people who want to stick with it. Are there any, I mean, I know you've been telling me a few stories as we have gone through this conversation, but are there any poignant memories or incidents in the classroom that you remember particularly in your time here as a teacher at Hong Kong University teaching German?
There might be, of course there are. There should be loads, right?
Okay. But tell me your favorite one.
Okay, my favorite one. Okay. There's one time when a student joined my class in year 2, having done year 1 with another colleague. And this boy was smart, so lazy. I mean, unbelievably lazy, which always makes me mad because I can see the potential, but that's just so lazy. So I normally tell these students, because I think you have to be honest with students to tell them, I see your grades suck, but I know you could do better. So I apparently told him, I'd have no recollection of this as to what I said in detail, but I must have told him, you're lazy, you can do better.
In those words or about.
Probably in these words. Okay. Yes, probably in these words. And then he came to see me. I mean, we stayed in touch throughout his time at Hong Kong U. And then he came to see me after he graduated to tell me that he got a job in Germany. Mm. And I think my jaw dropped because his German was just not really good.
Okay.
And he said, no, I'm going to give it a try. Mm. And then he came back 1 year later, fluent German. I've never seen anything like it. And I wish I could take credit for this.
Oh.
But he was just marvelous. He said he went there and that's the medium-sized enterprise I was talking about. Mm-hmm. His colleagues don't speak English. They speak German or even worse, dialect. So he can speak dialect now as well, which I don't.
Hmm.
So he said he wants to thank me. That's my point. That's why I'm telling this story.
Yes.
He wants to thank me for kicking his behind that time because he really tried to improve after that.
Hmm.
And then he realized he really wants to go to Germany.
Hmm.
And now he's fluent, really. And that makes me so happy.
Yes.
And he's happy there. I mean, he loves it there.
He's made a life.
Yes. Mm.
I mean, it's very hard for teachers to tell their students that they're lazy, right? We say, you know, we try to put it in different words and be nice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially in this environment where we are supposed to kind of be nice to our students. So what made you just, you know, is this part of your character that you just tell students the way you feel without really sugarcoating it too much?
Yeah.
Is that a German thing?
I'm getting a really bad conscience now. But
no,
yes,
no, don't.
Yes, yes. No, I think that's what I normally do.
Mm.
But there are not too many students like this.
Yes.
You know, and you have to see, sometimes you see the grades are bad, but you can also tell there's something else going on.
Mm.
It's not necessarily because they're lazy. Maybe they simply don't have the ability, which is a whole different story.
Yeah.
But if you once in a while come across a student where you can see that one is actually very smart and it's just so lazy, then I think you should say something because there's always hope that he or she will improve.
Mm. And he did.
Not in university, he did not, but
later
he did. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's a very inspiring story.
Mm.
I feel like going and telling all my students they're lazy.
Not sure if it always works that way.
Yes. Mm. Yes. So what suggestions would you have for students who are planning to take German, maybe next year, people who are listening to our podcast? What should they be prepared for and how should they prepare if they want to take this course?
First of all, get rid of the notion that German is a very difficult language, but at the same time, be open to the fact that it will take some time to learn it.
Mm.
Don't be frustrated if it's not like English.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Be open to invest time, not just in the classroom, but also outside of it. I mean, you have so many opportunities these days. You can listen to German songs. You can watch German movies online.
Mm.
So be open.
Okay, this is for my own benefit. What German movie can I watch right now, which is kind of, very current and very popular?
Current? Oh, you got me there.
Okay. Current. Okay. Any German movie that I could watch, maybe on Netflix or...
Yes.
Or,
yeah. My favorite German movie is The Life of Others, which is kind of sad. It's about East Germany and the Secret Service over there.
Oh, I see.
The other one is Goodbye Lenin, which is also about East Germany in the sense that it's about the fall of the wall. Okay. That's a comedy.
Yeah. Oh.
So that's very fun. Okay. I always recommend that. But if you go for really old German movies, that would be M.
M, I've heard of that.
It's marvelous.
That's it's a classic, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It's from 1930, 29 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great.
I will watch all three. And what about teachers? What would you suggest them? So teachers who you know, are finishing their masters in German or they want to teach German, what suggestion would you have for them?
I think if they are based in Hong Kong, they already know the students in here. But if they come from other places and teach German in Hong Kong, you also have to know about the background of the students. You have to know what the school system is like here so that you understand why, if you tell them in class to speak out, why in the first 4 weeks they will not speak out because they're simply not used to that.
Yes.
So you wouldn't be getting upset about this.
Mm.
Or you would have to understand that, yes, they come from a Cantonese background, but they filter their German learning through English.
That's true.
So it does help if you know some typical mistakes that they make in their English learning. Because we see them filtered down into German.
Yeah.
You know, there's the big example is always the difference between bored and boring.
Oh.
So they translate that literally into German. So I have students telling me, oh, on the weekend, I was very boring.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
Every single time. So it helps if you know English or even a little bit of Cantonese to understand where these mistakes come from.
And you speak Cantonese?
I wish I did better than I do.
Oh, okay, but you do a little bit,
yes. Yeah.
Okay. You also received the Faculty Teaching Excellence Award, and I'm sure there are people who want to know more about it. In your opinion, what makes an outstanding teacher?
Compassion and knowledge, in the sense of being able to transfer knowledge while at the same time making it interesting and fun. I think fun features very highly in my list, especially for languages, because if you don't enjoy it, you don't speak it.
Okay, so compassion, fun, knowledge.
Oh, honesty. Remember I tell the students they're lazy.
Yes,
honesty.
And honesty. Honesty with compassion.
Yes, that's a nice slogan. Yes.
Very nice. Is there anything you would like to say that I haven't asked you about?
Not that I can think of right now. It's like when I ask my students any questions for today, and they never have questions for today.
And then later they remember the
questions. Later they will remember the questions, yes.
Well, this is an ongoing conversation.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that we will have another opportunity to talk to you.
That would be lovely.
Thank you so much,
Thank you
Tanya.
So much for having me.
I really enjoyed our chat today.
Me too.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Welcome.
And we'll see you on Teacher's Lift, or talk to you on Teacher's Lift very soon.